Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor for the wonder of your salvation being unveiled to each and every one of us by your Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize, O God, that the processes of salvation are an awesome unveiling of your grace and your mercy. An awesome unveiling, O God, of the power of the cross, Father. An awesome unveiling, O God, of the power that is meant to unfold us as a new creation, able to do all things by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Able to do all things so as to be set free from the law of sin and death, Father. As we continue, O God, to meditate on the meal offering, Father, we realize, O God, that this offering is concerned with all that we do, Father. All that we do with the right intentions in our heart, Father. It is so important for us to do things, Lord, with the intent of glorifying you, with the intent, O God, of giving expression to the fullness of Christ Jesus from the altars of our heart. It is so important, O God, that the fragrance of our hearts, Father, be an expression of the knowledge of the Master who gave himself to each one of us, Father, uniquely, Father. For we are each discovering the faith and love of Jesus in a unique way, Father. We are each discovering, O God, the power of the cross in a unique way. We are each being unveiled in the image and fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ in a unique way. And even as we understand that in the sin offering, the guilt offering, and the burnt offering, Father, you have given us Jesus to set us free from the law of sin and death. And you have unveiled us, O God, in Jesus Christ as a holy people unto you. And in the meal offering, Father, you are bringing forth the fragrance of him in all that we do, Father, in thought, word, and in deed. And we thank you, Lord, that this is an awesome reality, Father. This is a new creation being manifested, Father. For as we express the meal offering, as we express the grain offering, O God, all that you have brought into us in Christ Jesus is being perfected and completed through a lifestyle dedicated, O God, to the glory of your name. So we bless you, Father, that there is a fragrance within us. And that fragrance, O God, is a fragrance that is growing, that a fragrance that is being perfected, a fragrance that is being completed, O God, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the intent of the meal offering is to enable us, O God, to do all things by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, that your purpose in the meal offering, O God, is to enable us to function entirely in the name of Jesus, to do it by the Holy Spirit, so that our hearts, O God, will testify that Jesus is the be-all and end-all of our life, that he is the fullness that fills all in all within us, amongst us, uniting us, enabling us to do all things, sharing all that you have given us, all that you have brought forth in us, O God, as one body, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for Jesus alive in us, Jesus alive through us, Father. We thank you for this awesome reality that is being worked into us, in the painstaking work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We bow before you. We thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. I just want to read the first three verses of Leviticus chapter 2. Now when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall then bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take from it his handful of its fine flour and of its oil with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke as its memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And the remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to the Lord by fire. That's what we did last week. And I just want to show you the New Testament reality of this, of these three verses. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we're going to look at from verse 12 onwards. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So in the burnt offering, you find that the reality that is being manifested in the burnt offering is the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is through the fullness of Jesus Christ that we are consecrated as a holy people. And that through the meal offering, this consecration is brought into practical realities. We are called to the work of service of building up the body of Christ. And the building up of the body of Christ is measured by the reality of the knowledge of the Son of God. Because the knowledge of the Son of God, which is categorized by the frankincense that you found in the meal offering, the fragrance that manifests the knowledge of Him, we are to become a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So the meal offering is the practical means by which God makes us one body. And this one body is a realization of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And this is the reality that we are supposed to develop within us. The reality of what Jesus has given to us through the burnt offering being manifested through our lives as we unveil as one body, as we unveil as one people. You realize that this unity is only possible if the unveiling is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. This unity is not based on good intentions. This unity is not based on our efforts. This unity is based on the unveiling of Jesus Christ. This unity will not come except by and through the fullness of Jesus Christ. And it's very important that we understand that. We can't legislate unity in the body of Christ. We can only come into a unity as one body if we receive and realize of the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is the fullness of Jesus Christ that brings us to maturity and makes us a mature man. One body. A people who truly are a blessing before God. So that meal offering being shared by the priesthood, that meal offering being manifested from the altar is meant to reflect the fact that as we grow in the fragrance of Jesus Christ on the inside, as our insides give expression to the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, automatically on the outside we will begin to form as one body. We will begin to form as a people who have a unity built in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way in which we can have one church. That's the only way in which the church can overcome its differences. That's the only way we can put aside our agendas and discover the agenda of God. And the agenda of God is Jesus Christ. And the meal offering is all about manifesting, sharing Jesus in all that we do in the ministries God has given us. We can only become one church as we share Jesus Christ. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, and Jesus said, I am the truth. Right? And love is the manifestation of Jesus Christ in our lives. Because all of the Levitical sacrifices are an expression of the love of Jesus. When we are set free from sin, it is because we are receiving the love of Jesus. If it was not for the love of Jesus, we will not be set free from sin and guilt. Being holy unto God involves the realization of the love of Jesus. We can only be holy unto God as we come alive to the love of Jesus, because it is the love of Jesus that brings into us the desire to be holy unto God. The meal offering is also an expression of the love of Jesus. Right? Because it is the love of Jesus that enables us to receive each other, to look at each other, to overcome our prejudices, to overcome our flaws. It is the love of Jesus that can enable that. And on our inward sides, all that we establish before God is going to be a reflection of the fragrance of that love. So verse 15 is saying, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him. All aspects into Jesus Christ, who is the head, even Christ. Right? Mashiach. We are to grow into everything in Christian faith is meant to be unveiled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not theology, guys. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of God's will. This is how we are going to be one body. This is how we are going to work in ministries together. This is how we are going to complement each other in the ministries. This is how we are going to be able to accept each other. Otherwise, we will be competing with each other. And it's time for us to get our act together. And the only way we can get our act together is to grow into Jesus. Otherwise, we will always keep on doing what we have been doing for the last 2,000 years. And it's time to change. But the change can only come as the fullness of Jesus Christ is communicated into us. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, that is from Christ, the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. That's what the meal offering is about. Every joint supplies something. You are supplying something to the body of Christ. I am supplying something to the body of Christ. And what we supply as God has called us to do begins to build the body, right? Begins to build the body, right? So let's read verse 16 again. From Christ, the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. You see, all of us must make sure that we are going to work the right way. And that's what the meal offering is all about, doing things the right way. Having Jesus inside of us and manifesting Jesus in all that we do, in thought, word, and in deed. And that is the proper working of each one of us. If we express Jesus in what we are doing things the right way. If we express the desire to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our insides, then we will do things on the outside in the right way. Amen? All right. According to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The fragrance of Jesus Christ from the cross, right? The ground flour. Right, the fine flour in the meal offering, that fine flour is an expression of the love of Jesus that we have received and realized. Because the meal offering is an outflowing of the sin offering and the burnt offering. So in the daily sacrifices in the Jewish calendar, the sin offering was offered, the burnt offering was followed, and together with the burnt offering, there was a meal offering or a grain offering offered. Right? So those three offerings function in tandem. But the meal offering is the means by which God perfects the sacrifice of Jesus Christ into our being. And this is what we must understand. We do not serve in church just to fulfill a function. We serve in church so that we can find, give true expression to Jesus Christ in what we do. Right? If we give expression to Jesus Christ in what we do, then everything that we do will be fruitful. Everything that we do will unveil God's will. Everything that we do will be a testimony to what we have received from God. So it's very important, this meal offering. Right? So be careful as to what you do. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And this basically sums up the meal offering. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. How do we give thanks to God the Father? By manifesting the fragrance of Jesus Christ from the altars of our heart. That's the only way in which we can actually give thanks to God. God can see our gratitude only when we manifest Jesus from the altars of our heart. What happens on the outside? This verse says that we will do all things in word and in deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what is important, right? That's what the meal offering is telling us to testify. To do all things in the body of Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we have to pray and ask God to build into us by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is how you train yourself for ministry. That focus must always be there. It is not doing big things. It is doing it in the name of Jesus. Because everything you do in the name of Jesus ultimately has limitless potential. Because there are no limits to how great the name of Jesus will be through your life. And this is what is important. When we are trained for the ministry, we must train so that we do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that we operate all gifts that God has given us in the name of Jesus. So that we function in the anointings God has given us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, that means he is not just doing it in the name of Jesus, but doing it in the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be Lord in how we do things. We must do it for his namesake. We must do it for his glory. He must reign in our thoughts. He must reign in our intents. He must reign in our desires. Now all that is the perfecting of the meal offering in us and amongst us. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, which is why the inward parts, I mean the part of the meal offering that is fired on the altar is fired in fire. That fire represents the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that in these Levitical sacrifices, the fullness of Jesus Christ is being communicated to us in functional terms, and all of those functional terms come alive to us by the Holy Spirit. Without fire, the right kind of fire, there is no meaning to the sacrifice. Without the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in us and amongst us, we are not going to unveil the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to do things with the wrong fire. So it's very important for us to understand what Jesus Christ told us. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead us into all truth. Right? He will glorify me, he said. Right? I'm quoting from John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. He will glorify me. He will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. All that the Father has is mine, and he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. So the Holy Spirit is the person who makes everything in Jesus come alive to you. It is the Holy Spirit who unveils the treasures of the Father's heart into our being through the name of Jesus. So that what we do, right, you realize that God is talking about unveiling the treasures of the Father's heart. And the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is involved in that reality. But you also must realize that the treasures of the Father's heart are invested in the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything that the Holy Spirit does, it has to involve the unveiling of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that's the meal offering. Praise the Lord. Okay. You will notice that in the meal offering, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 2. In the meal offering, there is something called the memorial portion, right? The part that is fired on the altar is called the memorial portion. Look at verse 2, the second half of verse 2. And the priest, after taking the handful of fine flour, its oil with all of its frankincense, and the priest shall offer it up in smoke as its memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. All right, that memorial portion, right, is the basis on which your ministry is going to be built. That memorial portion is the knowledge of Jesus Christ that you have realized. All right, let me explain this. Right, let's look at this memorial portion. What does it mean? Let's look at first the name of God. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' And what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And if you have an old King James Bible, it reads, "I am that I am." So there is a who reality in God, and there is a that reality in God. God is who he is, and God is all that he is. Who he is manifests all that he is. And all that he is reveals who he is. Can you catch that? Who he is unveils all that he is. And all that he is reveals who he is. All right? And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God furthermore said to Moses, verse 15, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.'" This is my memorial name to all generations. So God's name is by definition a memorial name. And that memorial name is by definition meant to be unveiled in the hearts of each one of us. And so the law of God demands, "You shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength." So the memorial portion is unveiled in love.
Alright? You shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. How is the body of Christ going to build up itself? It's going to build up itself in love. Right? What is the reality of this love? The love that God has given us. Where is this love being revealed to us through? It is being revealed to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Alright? So what has Jesus done for us? Jesus has done for us. What Jesus has done for us is to unveil the name of God to us. That's why in John chapter 17 verse 6, Jesus says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. What is he manifesting? He's unveiling the reality of what is called the memorial. Right? That's why in Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me. This is the memorial portion, the reality of the remembrance of Jesus Christ that is alive inside of us. That memorial portion is what establishes you before God. That memorial portion unveiled from the altar of your heart is where you stand before God. At the speed of thought, at the speed of intent, at the speed of your attitudes and your desires. So, God has designed His name to fashion your intents, your desires, your attitudes, your objects, your purposes, your will, your emotions, your character, your nature, your personality, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. God has designed your spirit, your soul, and your body to unveil different realities of His memorial name. In your spirit, there is one reality. In your soul, another reality. In your body, another reality of the name of God. And this is the memorial portion. And in the meal offering, when you start acting out what God has given you through Jesus Christ, the memorial portion is what rises from inside of you, from the altars of your heart. And that memorial portion tells God exactly how you regard Him. Because the offering of Jesus Christ is the unveiling of the I Am of God. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God has provided us with the I Am reality of God, who He is and all that He is. And through the meal offering, God is asking us to live that reality. Our altars, the altars of our heart, reflect that reality. And that's called the memorial portion. So that memorial portion is what is going to build you in the ministry before God. Are you with me? What do you carry in your heart? Right? That's how God is going to measure you and give you a position before Him. Alright? So that memorial portion is what Elijah, for instance, gave to Ahab. I stand before God. And by the words of my mouth, it is not going to rain until I say so. Right? You see, that is an expression of the meal offering. He's saying something, he's manifesting something that is of the will of God, but in his heart there is a conviction that he is standing before God and God is going to honor the words of his mouth. Can you catch that? And that is ministry. And that's the only way you can do true ministry. I will repeat that. That's the only way you can do true ministry. Your memorial portion must reflect the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does the name Lord mean? Lord means Yahweh. In Hebrew we would say Yahweh Yeshua. Yeshua, who is the expression of I Am. That's what it means. Right? So when Colossians 3:17 says, make sure you do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, in word and in deed, it is talking about manifesting the memorial portion. Lord, meaning the I Am of God, open to you in the name Yeshua or Jesus. Right? And that's what is the memorial portion. Amen? So as you learn how to live your life, remember, the purpose of living your life in the name of Jesus is so that the memorial portion in your hearts will be what God has designed it to be. So the moment you express Jesus in your heart, the moment you glorify Jesus in your heart, you are giving expression to the reality of God that you have actualized in your heart. That's the memorial portion. In Holy Communion, that leads to us having a Passover. We pass over into the Mount of the Lord. Right? You remember that verse in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19? He who has his hope on the Lord Jesus Christ anchors his soul behind the veil. Now behind the veil there is a reality of God that rises up in a high mountain, an infinite mountain. That's called the Mount of the Lord. When you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to manifest the memorial portion. And immediately God anchors you behind the veil. Depending on how you have developed that memorial portion, your soul is anchored at different levels in the Mount of the Lord, just at the speed of thought. And that's your position in ministry. Right? 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. He who sets his hope on the Lord Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. What is it telling you? That as you keep your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, this memorial reality of Jesus within you purifies you. What happens when you are purified? You occupy higher and higher levels in the Mount of the Lord. Amen. Can you catch that? All right. So if we turn to Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, let's turn to that. David tells us something about this memorial portion. Let's turn to that. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Like I said, the Hebrew word for hill and the Hebrew word for mount are the same Hebrew word. Who may ascend into the mount of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. How do you have a pure heart? By setting your hope on Jesus Christ. The more of Jesus you realize, the more pure your heart becomes. Amen? How does that purity manifest? Hope manifests the substance of faith, correct? Faith is the substance of hope. The substance of hope is what faith is all about. And faith has an evidence, right? And that evidence is an evidence of a purity. A purity you have received and realized in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that purity manifested in your heart will anchor you in the Mount of the Lord. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. And so this is what we are talking about. As the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ is manifested in your heart, as the fragrance, that ground flower, as it manifests more and more of the fragrance of Jesus Christ, your position as a minister of God grows and grows in the Mount of the Lord. Amen? You don't have to compete. It is available to you freely in the name of Jesus. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth were realized in the fulfillment of the law. In the fulfillment of the law, the memorial of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart unveils you as a blessed people. So as the memorial portion inside of you grows and grows and grows, your position automatically before God keeps growing. And that's how you build your position in the kingdom of God, in the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Hello. You see, position in the kingdom of God doesn't depend on how big a church you set up or how big a ministry you have. Position in the kingdom of God depends on the fragrance of Jesus in your heart. Hello. You know, when that woman brought two mites before the Lord, Jesus recognized her and gave her a very high position. Although quantitatively, in natural terms, those two mites meant very little. But Jesus Christ evaluated those two mites as being far more than all the bags of gold that were brought. Because the intents in that woman's heart, the memorial portion in that woman's heart, showed the greatness of God in her life. And Jesus honored her. You understand what we are saying? You see, it is the memorial portion that defines the tithe. It's the memorial portion that defines the worship. It is the memorial portion that defines the teaching. It is the memorial portion that defines the gifts. It is the memorial portion that defines the preaching. It is the memorial portion that defines the counsels. It is the memorial portion that defines all our actions in the ministry. It is not what is on the outside. It is what on the inside that makes the outside what it is. Praise the Lord. So as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must understand that the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ unveiling inside of you is God's key criteria. That is what is called the salt of the covenant. That's what is called the salt of the covenant. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 3 and let's continue with what the Lord opens to us. Right? Leviticus chapter 3, rather Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 13. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven of any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. What is he saying? You can only make the meal offering in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Which is why in this ministry we keep repeating over and over again. You must do things in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Right? You see, in the grain offering, you are celebrating the Passover of the Lamb. Let me show you where we are coming from, right? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ is the Passover. The Passover is manifested in the memorial. The memorial is unveiled inside of you in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There are different levels of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. But what God demands is that you manifest the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And as you do that, it defines your position before God. Are you with me? As the leaven is worked out of your system, you will manifest the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth in growing measures of Christ that you have received and realized. And that unveils your position in the mount of the Lord. Can you catch that? So always remember this. You cannot in your flesh earn points to stand before God. Alright? The only way you can stand before God is accordance with the Lord Jesus Christ alive in your heart. It is His greatness alive in your heart that is going to give you a position before God. You are going to receive a position before God in the merits of the Lamb. So Jesus is the Passover. And the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is an expression of Jesus from our hearts. Are you with me? Catch it? So in the meal offering it is said, you cannot offer leaven. You cannot add honey to it. What does honey mean? Sweeten up things for God. Right? Like we tend to do. Right? We tend to say things that are nice to people. You can't con God like that. Right? God cannot be conned. Right? He wants you to be exactly what you are. Right? He doesn't mind the fact that you have got serious flaws in your character. He can deal with it. What he wants you to do is recognize those flaws and address those flaws to him face to face. Without bluffing. Address yourself as you are before God. And God can respect that because then he can work the sin offering and the guilt offering as a fulfillment inside of you. Right? The sin offering to change your unintentional sin nature. The guilt offering to set you free from those character flaws that cripple you, from those guilts that condemn you. As long as you bring your heart before God, God says, I can deal with the sin. But if you try and hide your sin from me, how am I going to deal with it? So don't bring any honey to me. I'm not interested in honey, says the Lord. Right? I want to see you as you are. Don't pretend before me. Right? Be as you are. Be naked before me. And I will respect you for what I can do with you. Because if you are willing to address yourself as you really are before me, then I can bring the power of my son's sacrifice and work it through your system. And I can change you, says the Lord. I can make you my chosen instrument. So don't bring any honey and don't bring any leaven before me, because I want you to be as you really are before me. Don't pretend. Right? Don't pretend. Right? The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, what is God doing? He's defining the memorial portion. Correct? Right? He wants you to address the fact that you are sinful, and he wants you to address the fact that Jesus is the solution for your sin. And if he says, if you're willing to do that, right, I will accept you. Because I will work the fullness of my son into you. And the reality of him will rise as a fragrance from your heart. And that's the memorial portion that will enable you to be mine. So brethren, no matter how many flaws in your character you have, don't think that you cannot go before God because of the flaws in your character. As long as you can manifest yourself in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, God will deal with your character. And he will bring you into his mount. Because that is why he purchased you in the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? It's very important that you understand that. You see, in the heart of God, the most important thing for him is to unveil his name to you. You remember Psalm 54 verse 1 where David says, "Save me, O God, by thy name, vindicate me by thy power." David comes into a point in his life where he realizes that his righteousness is actually worthless. Right? So he addresses that fact before God and he says, "Oh God, save me by your name. Save me by who you are. Save me by all that you are. Vindicate me. Justify me with your power." Amen. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth was what enabled, right? Enables this reality to come forth. When you are sincere and truthful before God, he will be your God. He will save you. Because the name Jesus means Yahweh saves. Correct? So if you manifest the fragrance of Jesus Christ from your heart, you are taking hold of your salvation. You are actually activating the process of your salvation. You are actually activating the grace that God has invested in the name of Jesus. It will automatically start manifesting inside of you. And you will change. Nothing can stop you from changing. Are you with me? Right? So you have a character flaw. There are certain things that you don't want to do. The Bible says you should do it and you don't want to do it. So take it to the Lord in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Lord, this is what my heart says. My heart says that I don't want to do anything that you want me to do. Right? Oh Lord, can you change my heart? Right? Oh Lord, can you enable me to do what I can't do? Through Jesus Christ, through his spirit and his life, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Take the word of God, address it before God and say, Lord, change me. Right? The change will take time, but God will fulfill it as long as you are serious with him and are willing to hold that witness before him in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That means you don't just say something for the sake of saying it. You say something because you want to see the change in your life. All right? Praise the Lord. So don't bring any honey to God. Right? You cannot bluff God. All right, let's look at verse 12. Or rather verse 13. Leviticus chapter 2 verse 13. Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offerings. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. See, salt represents the taste of Jesus in your life. Salt represents the taste of Jesus in your life. And what God is demonstrating through salt is this fact, that the memorial portion that you manifest depends on the salt of your covenant. Depends on the way in which you have tasted Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Now, how you taste Jesus Christ is your own free will response to him. All of us will taste Jesus in different ways. But God wants us to taste Jesus, and He wants us to bring our meal offering in the taste of Jesus. If you are a worship leader, God wants that worship to be manifested in the taste of Jesus. He doesn't want that worship to be manifested with skills. He wants those skills to be an expression of the taste of Jesus. If you are a prayer warrior, if you are an intercessor, if you are just a person who prays every day, He is interested in the taste of Jesus that comes out of your prayer. If you are a preacher, if you are an evangelist, if you are a teacher, if you are a prophet, if you are an apostle, whatever may be the calling, if you are operating the gifts that God has given you, the anointings that God has invested in your lives, He is interested in the taste of Jesus manifesting all of that calling. He's not interested in how many miracles you did, because the miracles will come as you taste Jesus. So He's more interested in the taste of Jesus. Put Jesus first, and subject the gifts and the callings and the ministry and everything else to who Jesus Christ is. Because it is the taste of Jesus that is the salt of your covenant. That's why in Holy Communion, Jesus says, "Remember me." Because that remembrance is the salt of your covenant. Hello. The Passover is the unveiling of the covenant of God in your life. God has brought you somewhere. He has defined the word inside of you to bring you to a position in Him. The salt of your covenant says that position I occupy because of my Jesus. And your heart speaks that message to God every time you do anything. At the speed of thought, at the speed of intent, at the speed of desire, at the speed of your attitudes, at the speed of your words. There is always a taste of Jesus in everything that you do. Sometimes it is a denial of Jesus Christ. Hello. But God works through that denial too. Even as He did in Simon Peter's life. God works through the denials. And He wants to bring the taste of Jesus. Right? It is the taste of Jesus that is the victory of the Lamb. It is the taste of Jesus from your heart that is going to make you an instrument of God. It is the taste of Jesus that is going to define your ministry, your calling, your giftings, your anointings. Know Jesus, the rest of it is not worth anything. Know Jesus, the rest of it is worthless. Now we can go into a pretense of how busy we are in ministry. If there is no fragrance of Jesus Christ, if there is no memorial portion, if there is no salt of your covenant being manifested in the taste of Jesus, there is no purpose to your ministry. Right? Hard words, but very necessary for us to understand. Because salt represents taste. Without salt, everything becomes tasteless. And salt is represented in the Bible as the taste of Jesus from the altar of your heart. So in the meal offering, salt was added to the memorial portion. Right? Salt was added to the memorial portion. And that salt is the taste of Jesus in our lives. Oh, taste and see that God is good. See striving and know that I am God. All that is built inside of us in the name of Jesus, because you cannot know God except through the name of Jesus. You cannot come into an intimacy to taste God except in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot come alive to taste Jesus Christ without the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right? So in this salt of the covenant, there is a huge reality that stands available to us. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. So behind this reality of the salt of the covenant stands an amazing prophetic reality. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 5. Do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt? By a covenant of salt. Now one of the blessings of being alive to God, alive to Jesus, is that in Jesus Christ there is kingship.
There is authority given to you. There is authority being developed in your life. All of that authority, all of that position that you occupy in Jesus depends on the salt of your covenant. Alright? God gave a promise to David. It is a promise that is foreshadowed. That is a foreshadowing of what Jesus will come to establish. Jesus will come to establish a royal priesthood of kings and priests and prophets. So kingship depends on the salt of your covenant. If you want to stand in authority, that authority can only be given to you in one name, the name of Jesus. So the salt of your covenant is the taste of Jesus in your heart. As God builds your life, He's interested in what you taste of Jesus. What taste of Jesus is manifested in your life. Remember that position can be given to you not just because you stand in ministry. It also depends on everything that you do in your life. How you run your business. How you treat your staff. On what basis are you building your profession? The salt of your covenant, the taste of Jesus in your life. Right? To which drumbeat will you march to? The taste of Jesus or the taste of the systems of the world? All of us are called to choose. Amen? So when you have prosperity, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. What is wrong with prosperity is when the taste is not of Jesus Christ. When that prosperity is realized and it's the love of money that is in your heart. If the love of Jesus is in your heart, God has got no problem with giving you money and prosperity. You can have as much as you want. Because as long as you love Jesus, you will always treat the money as something to be used for the glory of God. And that's what God wants to bring forth. Amen? Praise the Lord. So remember this, that the salt of our covenant leads to kingship. The salt of our covenant leads to kingship. Let's turn to Psalm 138. Or rather Psalm 132. This is the promise that God gave to David, that the psalmist in this passage unveils. Psalm 132. Let's read from verse 10 to 12. For the sake of David, thy servant, do not turn away the face of thine anointed. It's very important for us to understand that this name David is prophetic, and Jesus came to fulfill the name David. David means the well-beloved. So we read in Ephesians that the church is meant to be built in love. The church is meant to build itself up in love. The reason why it is meant to build itself up in love is so that the promises invested in the name David will be open to us. In order to unlock those promises invested in the name David, Jesus came as the Son of David. And in the Son of David, right? The Son of David unveiled the root of David, the offspring of David. He unveiled himself as the bright morning star. Revelation chapter 22 verse 16. So Jesus Christ came to establish the right root, the root of David, and he came to manifest the offspring of David. He also came to reveal into our hearts the key of David. The meaning of David means the love for God. Are you with me? So the reality of us becoming alive to the promises that are invested in the name of David is this reality of coming to love the Lord our God. And you can only come to love God as you love Jesus. Because it is only through Jesus that you can taste the love of God given to you through the cross. Amen? So let's look at this verse now from that background. For the sake of David thy servant, do not turn away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. We are all the fruit of the body of Christ. We are all living members of the body of Christ. When we celebrate Holy Communion, we are celebrating the fact that we are each living members of the body of Christ. We are each being unveiled in a Passover as members of the body of Christ. We are receiving and realizing a position in the fullness of Jesus Christ that establishes us in the mount of the Lord with authority and power. Amen. Now all that authority and power comes to us through this prophetic name called David. David was fulfilled by Jesus, the well-beloved. That's why God said, "This is my beloved son." Right? In whom I am well pleased. Alright? This is my beloved son, the chosen one. Through him, all of my blessings will flow into creation. So in Jesus Christ, we stand as the body that will receive and realize the highest levels of God's blessings. And the highest levels of God's blessing come with authority and position. But that authority and position is only defined in the love of God. If you don't love God, you are not going to occupy those positions, no matter how hard you try. No matter how big you build the church, manipulating this and manipulating that, God is not interested in numbers. God is interested in what your heart unveils. Right? That memorial portion, right, is what God is interested in. And that memorial portion should reflect the Lord who has saved you. Because if you don't love the Lord who has saved you, who can you possibly love? If you cannot appreciate what Jesus has done for you, what can you really appreciate? If you cannot hold that position given to you in the merits of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, of what use is a position to you? How can God trust you with a position? Correct? So you need to understand that in Jesus Christ, the moment you are saved, the reality of David is birthed into your heart. And God wants to unveil that reality of Jesus being your well-beloved inside of you. And that's not a small thing. That is the basis on which your position before God is established. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you need to understand this, right? God has sworn an oath to David. Right? And in that oath he says, "Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I will teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne." For how long? Forever. What is God saying? If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I will teach them. That is the basis of the salt of your covenant. Right? The taste of Jesus in your heart. The first taste of Jesus in your heart is his testimony towards you. The fruit of that taste of Jesus is the unveiling of your covenant in him. What position has he brought into your life in the process of changing you? What calling has he unveiled in your life in the process of changing you? Amen? Can you see that? Hello, this is not a religious picture, okay? Hello. God can raise you in the business world and make you a man of God. Hello. In equal stature to anyone who stands in ministry in the church. Hello. Daniel rose up as prime minister. He was no less a man of God than Elijah. Hello. He was no less a man of God than Elijah. Now Elijah was a prophet. Daniel was a prophet. Elijah grew up in a so-called religious role. Daniel grew up as a prophet of God in a very secular role. Yet each was a man of God. You understand that? Correct? Because in each person's heart, there was a reality of God that was alive to them. Can you catch that? And that's what God is talking about. Right? So don't convert what we are saying today and put it in religious clothes. God is saying, "I will raise you where I have called you. But you must be willing to stand in my name. You must be willing to stand in my name." It is harder to stand in God's name when you are in a secular role than if you are in a ministry. Am I right? It takes a lot more faith right? To be able to see God when all around you there is darkness. Can you imagine if you were in this, you were in Babylon? Babylon represented the seat of darkness. In that seat of darkness, Daniel stood up for God. How much of faith would that have taken, right? But in Jesus Christ, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. So you see, the key is this memorial portion. The key is the salt of your covenant. The taste of Jesus is what will enable you to rise to these positions wherever God has called you. Praise the Lord. Don't think that if you become a politician, you cannot be a man of God. Don't think that if you rise to be a lawyer or an engineer or a doctor, you cannot be a man of God. Right? The salt of your covenant. Right? The salt of your covenant. What is in your heart? Who are you living in your profession? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. In the same way, you can be an evangelist riding a bicycle in a village in North India, between villages in North India, in places that nobody recognizes you. Nobody even knows you exist. But it's about the salt of your covenant in your heart, and God will honor you according to the salt of your covenant in your heart. On the other hand, you can be flying first class, three-piece suit, speaking to thousands from pulpits, and you may miss it all because in your heart, there is a different God in your heart. The God called I. So we need to watch out what we carry in our hearts. Because everything is measured by the salt of the covenant, not by what we measure on the outside. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. So it's very important for us to understand that this reality of the salt of the covenant is extremely important for us in terms of our understanding of our positions in ministry, our positions in the secular world, our positions in the professions. Right? It's very important for us to understand. Praise the Lord. Now look, let's look at Numbers chapter 18, verse 19. Numbers chapter 18, verse 19. Verse 19, chapter 18 of Numbers. All the offerings of the holy gifts which the sons of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and to your sons. I have given to you and your sons and your daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord to you and your descendants with you. Perpetual allotment. That means in God's will, there is a guaranteed position for you before God, provided you accept it. The guarantee is conditioned on the salt of your covenant. But there is a perpetual allotment, right? Perpetual allotment. So don't try and earn a position before God. You already have a position before God. Hello? You're listening to the words. You have a position before God. You don't have to earn it. Jesus has already earned it. You have to receive that position, and the only way you can receive that position is if the covenant of salt is manifested in your heart. Amen? Isn't that good news? Right? It is not based, right, on what your merits are. It is based on what God has already ordained in Christ Jesus for you. There is an allotted position for you. Allotted position whether you are a son or a daughter. That's why in the New Covenant, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul writes, there is no longer male nor female. There is no longer Jew or Gentile. There is no longer slave or free man. For all are one in Christ Jesus. Right? And that's what he's talking about. That's where this is all coming from. There is a perpetual allotment. That means there is an eternal allotment. There is a position for you in all eternity. So as you enter this process of God's salvation, The process of God's salvation is to make this position, make this allotment that God has already predestined from the foundations of the world in your life. Awesome, isn't it? So if you don't allow this process of salvation to come alive in yourself, you're just cheating yourself. And that's really foolish. Right? That's why if God gives you an opportunity to serve Him, go ahead and serve Him. Because in serving Him, you're going to realize the position that God has allotted for you. Hello? And God has already, in His infinite wisdom, already known what kind of fumbles you will do. So the question is not whether you can do it perfectly. The question is whether you are willing to have the courage to know that God will save you, even as you fumble. That the processes of your salvation will turn the fumbles into triumphs. Will turn all of those inabilities and those inadequacies into sufficiencies in God. He will bring it forth. He will fulfill it. He will enable it. You are a chosen instrument of God. Do you know that or not? Because that's what this memorial portion is all about. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you know what Jesus has given you? Do you know what position He has opened to you? The sad part is so many Christians aren't even interested. But you are called to realize the allotted portion that God has invested in your life. Hello. Today you may not even be able to pray 10 minutes. That's got nothing to do with it. You may not even feel that you're very religious. It's not based on your religiosity. It is based on what you can unveil through Jesus Christ. It is based on what you can receive and realize through Jesus Christ. It is not based on whether you are male or female or whether you're super intelligent or less intelligent. It is not based on what talents you carry. It is not based on where you have come from, what your race is, what your status in life is, what your family position is. Not based on any of that nonsense. God has allotted a portion for you. As a Christian who is being saved, are you prepared to take hold of it? Or are you going to run away from it? Praise the Lord. So do not put religious clothes on God's clothing, God's calling on your life. If God wants you to be a professional, He wants you to be a professional in His name, no less than He wants you to be an evangelist in His name. Praise the Lord. Are you prepared to receive that allotment? Are you as a businessman willing to stand and say, I'm going to build for God's kingdom? That everything that is established in my group of companies is going to stand as a memorial offering to my Lord and my Savior. That's what it's all about, guys. Are you going to be a professional who is going to practice his profession for the glory of God? I'm going to stand for the truth. I'm not going to be shaken and I'm not going to be moved. I want you to realize that this is a memorial portion. That means it is only as you taste Jesus that you can enter into this reality. You cannot do this in the flesh. Alright, you can't cook it up, guys, out of religious zeal. It won't work. It can only come as you taste Jesus. As you taste Jesus, He will give you the strength to stand for His name. If you don't taste Jesus, you cannot stand for His name. It won't work. So that tasting of Jesus is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you are going to answer your calling in God, it is all dependent on who Jesus is to you. It is dependent on your ability to taste and see the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It is your ability to realize the sin offering, the guilt offering, the burnt offering. Because the meal offering will never manifest unless you have the understanding of the realization of the sin offering. That means the changing of your nature. The guilt offering, setting you free from all of your hang-ups and all of those realities of condemnation inside of you. The burnt offering, the understanding that you belong to God. Amen. Now the fulfillment of you belonging to God will come as you taste Jesus. Can you catch that? It is not going to come out of religious zeal. It is only going to come as you taste the Lord. If you don't taste the Lord, you cannot grow in the Lord. That's why you must understand, everything in the kingdom of God is built in the name of Jesus. And everything in the name of Jesus is unveiled by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Everything built in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit is the Father's will. Praise the Lord. This is the memorial portion. If you can understand that, this memorial portion in your life will keep on growing. Right? So when God asks you to pray for a relative, He wants you to pray and develop the memorial portion. He's not just asking you to pray for your relative. He's asking you to build an altar of prayer in the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Whether your relative ultimately receives Jesus or not, that is a different question. But what is important is that when you pray, you have prayed the love of Jesus over that person's life. What is important is that you have released the fragrance of Jesus Christ for your father, over your father's life. Right? That's what is important, guys. Right? So remember that. So don't measure things by what the outward results are. I've prayed for 15 years and nothing happened. Do you know that God has done a miracle if you can pray for someone for 15 years? Hello. Hello. If you can actually pray for someone sustained period for 15 years, you must have one heck of a prayer life, man. Correct? So don't measure things by answers. Measure things by the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if God gives you a small ministry, don't think that God is not working in your life, that you are a lesser man of God than somebody else. It's not like that. It's about the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, the fragrance of Jesus Christ equalizes all of us before God. Whether you have risen in the professions, whether you have risen in the business field, whether you are a mixture of the business field and the ministry as well, God is interested in the fragrance in your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the salt of the covenant in each one of our hearts. We thank you, Father, that the salt of the covenant is being built in us in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, Lord. That this is the memorial portion that you mean to unveil in our lives. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ came to manifest. To manifest the name of God as a living memorial within each one of us. As a unique memorial in each one of our lives. As a unique memorial testifying of the glory of your grace, received and realized in our hearts. So we thank you, Father, for what you have given us. We thank you, Lord, that there is an allotted portion for each one of us, Father, in your eternal will, Father. There is a reality of the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty for each one of us, Lord. And that is a reality that is our memorial allotment, Father. We thank you that we don't have to compete with each other. We just need to unveil the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as we unveil the Lord Jesus Christ, you recognize what has been manifested in our lives. And you honor us even as you honored, O God, that woman who put two mites, O God, in the till. Although in natural terms those two mites didn't amount to anything, yet before you, Father, it is a monumental remembrance, Father. It is a monumental memorial that we are talking about that woman's two mites even today, Father. Although she was a woman who was probably totally unknown in her spheres of influence in those days, yet today we all talk about her memorial portion, Father. What an amazing testimony, Lord. Enable us to understand that as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is being unveiled in all that we do, in thought, word, and in deed, we are building a reality that will last forever. We are building an inheritance that will grow forever, Father. We are building, O God, an amazing possession in God that will be, O Lord, a blessing forever and forever. We thank you that the memorial portion is eternal, Father. That the allotted portion, O God, is perpetual, Father. We thank you for all that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us to be faithful to him, Father, so that his faithfulness will carry us all of our lives forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.